SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Hour number two officially underway on Moneyline Tuesday afternoon. Donnie Wrightside here. Solo mission. Having some fun at the All-Star Game break here. All-Star Game is tonight. We're going to continue to hit on that in just a few moments. But JP said he's going with some action in the NFL. North and South. Team that we might not expect here. Lying in the weeds here. I'm going to go Atlanta Falcons plus 220, JP. Where are we going?
Those are actually the two divisions where I have my biggest long shots. So I'll stick in that division. Let's go with the Carolina Panthers to win that division.
Wow. Donnie. Okay. 3:30 here at FanDuel Sportsbook here. And by the way, I do think the Saints, JP, are going to win that division. But when I keep on breaking the teams down, it's not that far of a leap to say, like, hey, you get some decent quarterback play out of the Falcons or the Panthers, and it could be anybody's division, as if we're talking about Derek Carr as the next great quarterback in the NFL to go down as a top five all time. So there you go. Carolina. Now, what do you like about the Panthers, though? Are you worried about a rookie quarterback stepping in?
No, that's what I like about them. They looked really good at the end of the season. That defense has a lot of threats. They got Jalen Horn. They still have Brian Burns. And you bring in Bryce Young, I think you can give that offense a real injection of life. And I mean, if your opportunities are Desmond Ridder, Derek Carr, who's not exactly the best coming into a new system, I like our chances.
Yeah, there we go. A little football talk. And by the way, people, again, next Tuesday, which again will be a scheduled solo mission for your boy Donnie Wrightside. Man, we are going to be watching the NFL Network and watching guys running around in shorts and helmets. Oh, man. Wasn't it just a few months ago that the Eagles were getting beaten in the Super Bowl? Oh, let's not bring that back up again, but it is what it is. But here we go, and away we go. By the way, quick update here coming through Twitter. Looks like Saints running back Alvin Kamara pleaded no contest today to a misdemeanor charge connected to his alleged participation in a fight that occurred in Las Vegas in 2022. Also says Kamara could still be subject to suspension by the NFL under their personal conduct policy. He's probably going to get somewhat of a suspension here. But it just goes to show you again, if you are famous, number one, if you have money, number two, which leads to number three, you can get great lawyers. You can really do whatever you want in life, it feels like sometimes, doesn't it? On camera, curb stomping a guy, you're just going to get a little community service and a fine. That's it. Look, let me see if I can find that out real quick. Okay, here we go. Dove Kleiman writes, Saints star running back Alvin Kamara pleaded guilty to a lesser misdemeanor charge for his alleged role in a Las Vegas fight, according to @DavidCharnes. Kamara will have to do community service, which probably means showing up and signing autographs for about 5 minutes, and pay $100,000 to the victim for his medical bills. So basically, sign some autographs, pay the guy's medical bills, and we're all good here. Fresh curb stomp in the rearview mirror, and I can get back to playing football. It's crazy, but that's what happens here. When you have fame and money, it goes a long way at times. You can afford the best of the best with your lawyers, and typically works out in your favor. All right, now we are going to get back to Major League Baseball and talking about this All-Star game. Because as you guys know, I do like the American League. I think they win tonight, not because there's a handicap in place, but the American League always wins the All-Star games. And I'm not paying a premium for it. Basically, at minus 108, minus 106, minus 110, where you're shopping at. But every year at this time, similar to like when you see the NFL get to the Super Bowl, the commissioner comes out and speaks State of the Union address for the league itself, right? You get some questions answered and see what happens. You see the NBA do it, the NHL does it, and of course, Major League Baseball. But the Major League Baseball Players Association chief, Tony Clark, was talking here. And I love this stuff. Because you can't get mad at the guy when his only job is to try to get the best for his team and or players, right? As I take a deep breath, Tony Clark on MLB's hopes of adding an international draft, which means, hey, we have a draft in the United States for Major League Baseball for kids out of high school and out of college. The reason we have this draft is if you are a bad baseball team, you get the draft higher. So chances are you can get that player that you can improve your team. And it's not all structured on how much money you have. And it's not all about what free agency is going to be. You can literally draft a team, keep your players. If you want to sign them, great. But you have them under control for years and years and years and years. The reason there's a draft is not because we hate the players coming into the league. No, it's for fairness. It's for giving every team a chance. You think you get a high draft pick. Now, some of these teams do tank and never try to win. I get all that. But you understand it just can't be the Yankees drafting number one every year here because they have more money than everybody else, or the Dodgers or the Mets, right? Can't do that. So Tony Clark says he doesn't believe in the international draft. It's not necessary. Of course he believes in that. Because of all the money being thrown around to those picks, and they will be players that are coming into the union. And he's trying to get them the most he can. But there should be an international draft. 1,000,000,000%, there should be one. Because if you ask Tony Clark, should there be a Major League Baseball draft, he'd tell you no as well. But also here's my favorite quote that came. You know what? I'm not going to burn this yet. I'm going to let this simmer. Tony Clark with one of the all-time all-timers, which if you're a working man, you can respect, and you would want a leadership group talking like this. Find out what that quote is next. We'll hit the All-Star game and so much more here in hour number two. It's Donnie Wrightside. I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
MLB All-Star Game here. We're going to get to that, but I just wanted to tease Tony Clark here. Talking about Major League Baseball, right? Get this. We would all love this, right? And anybody who reads this, you sort of got to take it with a grain of salt. All right, you ready? Beat writer here, Derek Gould, I guess, says, asked MLBPA chief Tony Clark about reducing the schedule back to 154 games and says it's been discussed. Union is open to it, 154, 158, 160, he says, as long as salaries aren't reduced too. Earlier, it says Manfred wonders if a 154-game schedule key to more series in Europe. Let's get this straight here. Don't play any more games in Europe if it means you have to shorten the season. I don't understand why we're going to Europe anyway. Play the games on your home soil. If you want to go in the offseason, I'm talking about December, and play Yankees B-team versus Red Sox B-team in the UK, go do it. Because that's what they do. Have we seen this yet? The EPL, right? Hey, look at this. Manchester City versus Manchester United. They ever play a regular season game in the U.S.? No. It's friendlies. Ridiculousness. A cash grab, which they come to an American city in a football stadium and show up with half of their players missing. That's what we should be doing in Major League Baseball and the NFL. Off-season, random players going over there. Yay, congratulations. But the fact that I respect the hustle here for Tony Clark. Hey, look, man, you can knock 10 games off that. We would discuss it, but also you're not going to pay us less. What? That's 10 less gates, 10 less games to sell on TV? Yeah, Major League Baseball players, you're going to take a hit in the pocketbook there. If that's 5% less games, 3%, whatever it is, you're going to take a hit. So if you make $50 million a year, $30 million a year, you might be looking at $1 to $2 million less per year. Because why? You're playing less games. And that's why. But always interesting to see some of those comments come from the players' union. Because we all laugh at those. Like, yeah, of course. Hey, by the way, what do you think about going to a 4-day work week instead of a 5-day work week? We'll keep the hours a little bit less for you, keep you fresher. Yeah, it's awesome. I want the same pay, though. As I'm not working that fifth day, I still want to be paid for it. Stop the madness out here at this time. All right, National League, slight favorite here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 110 tonight in the All-Star game, a total of 7. at minus 122. I'm going over tonight. My same game parlay from the FanDuel Sportsbook today, from the early line, that was it. The American League money line tonight, and a total going over seven at a minus 122. And you say, Donnie, that's a handicap? No. No, it's not. It's game on tonight. Put the thinking cap on and just said to myself, American League ballpark, American League's won nine straight, American League's probably going to win again. That's all. And for the total, pitchers don't look as strong as they do in the past. Let's go over. Therefore, the over seven. That's how I came to that here. See how easy that was? Is it a handicap? Not necessarily. All right, let's get down to it. MVP of the All-Star game. Anybody dip your toes into that market? Because once again, it's really hard. These games don't mean anything. So when you say that is, how long are we actually playing the starters and the bench guys? Who's going to have a chance to live up to the hype? Are you taking a shot on a bench player that could come in at a tie game to get a key hit? You're going to get big money on that, but you might get one at bat with nobody on and a pop out. You see what I mean? All-Star game MVP, easy, right? Shohei Ohtani, everybody loves him. Well, what does he have to do? He's not pitching tonight. Two for two with an RBI? One of those maybe a home run? Ronald Acuna Jr., 10-1. Like, you see these price points here. They're outrageous. And they're all lumped together. Like, tell me why, like, Mookie Betts is at a 12-1, but Nolan Arenado is at a 23-1. Why is that? Is it just the betting field overall? Like, okay, Mookie Betts is a great player. I understand. So is Ronald Acuna Jr. and Shohei Ohtani, who are the three leaders in the clubhouse right now for All-Star Game MVP at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Adolis Garcia catches one. He's 21-1. Now, let me ask this. Is it bet? What's the better bet here? Because the numbers are going to be markedly different. But should you just take a shot here at a player or two or three at those prices to win MVP or try to go to a market like to hit a home run? Shohei Ohtani to hit a home run, plus 520, the favorite. Mookie Betts, plus 540. J.D. Martinez, 6-1. Marcus Semien, Ronald Acuna Jr., 6-1 also. Which market are you hitting there? Is it better to take the MVP market? Or is it better to take the hit a home run market tonight? Will the Major League Baseball All-Star game be decided by a tie-break home run derby? I didn't read too much into the rules on that, but I assume it's not. Is it after nine? It can't be after just nine. It's got to go into extra innings, right? Plus 700 if it does. Velocity of first pitch. Gerrit Cole versus Ronald Acuna Jr. to start the game. First pitch over 96.95 miles per hour. So basically 97 mile an hour first pitch. I mean, yeah, we're just flipping coins at this point, right? Do we have the other ones? Do we have the other side here? Look at this. You can go all the way down. Gerrit Cole versus Freddie Freeman first pitch. Same thing. 96.95. Then it looks like he gets tired a little bit against Mookie Betts, and it's 95.95 miles an hour. So he loses a mile an hour on those first two guys. Zach Gallen on the opposite side. How about this? Not the flamethrower extraordinaire, but you got to figure these guys are hyped up. Zach Gallen versus Marcus Semien. First pitch, 92.9 miles an hour. So a 93 mile an hour first pitch. And by the way, in the All-Star game, are we throwing a breaking ball to start this thing off? Either guy? I don't think so. Are we going to be heated up and excited and overthrowing fastballs? It could be. It might happen. By the way, bad news here coming out of the All-Star game. No, nobody's injured, nothing like that. Bob Nightingale tweets out, there are no plans to implement an automated strike zone in 2024. The technology is there. The technology is there. I'll tell you right now, if the umpires union is fighting it, because granted, sometimes the union gets a lot more benefits than they actually deserve. I always used to get a kick out like the toll takers, just on the New Jersey Turnpike for decades. They had to take tolls manually. I actually worked there one summer in the mid to late 1990s for what, maybe June, July, and August before I went back to football camp. And it's a monotonous job. You're out there for 8 hours. You get a break, like, I don't know, every so often you come in, you got to count the money at night. But it was a lot more manual duties. That's probably what it was in later years, like in the early 2000s, mid-2000s. But now most lanes, if not all, are easy pass lanes. So there's no need for those guys. But they still get their same pay, do other things, and, you know, do things like that. But if you are the Major League Baseball union, or should I say the umpires union, and you're fighting this, even though baseball is probably saying, no. Nobody is losing their job. Nobody. You're still going to have a home plate umpire. You're still going to have to listen to the buzzer to call a strike or a ball. If the umpires are fighting this, fire every one of those. Fire every one of them and replace them. Hour number two, topics galore. Come on back. It's Donnie Wrightside.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here, hour number two. Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight. You know me. American League tonight. Over seven. Parlay together. Get a nice little piece of the pie. Let's see if it plays out. Let's see if it wins tonight. By the way, continuing to get some of these updates out of Rob Manfred and also Tony Clark, head of the Players Union. Here is where sometimes it just gets stupidity gets in the way here. Rob Manfred said he'll continue to talk to players and Tony Clark about the possibility of adding a few seconds to the pitch clock during the postseason, but would prefer to keep the rules the same as the regular season and the postseason. What are we talking about here? The game is so much better with the pitch clock. The players have done a fantastic job adjusting to the pitch clock. Why are we adding more seconds to make a longer game at this point? You know me. I love the back Rob Manfred because a lot of the rules he put in are sensational for the game of the baseball, the game of baseball, and the health of baseball in the future. The simple fact that we're not talking about stupidity stuff like that by going back on what actually made the game better. Why not just say, all right, you could shift in the playoffs again. And, yep, we're going to take the ghost run away, which they did. No pitch clocks. We're just going to have a completely different game. You can doctor the baseball in the playoffs. Like, knock it off, man. Just knock it off. The pitch clock is fantastic. Why would you change it? Like in the NFL, the play clock. Hey, by the way, spoke with the players union. We're going to add a couple seconds to the play clock here. What? No. That doesn't even make sense. Enough with that. You've got to be kidding me. Like, stuff like that just fires me up out of nowhere when I just see stupid talk. It's working perfectly here. Then you want to go back and change it. Yeah, let's have 9 hours. Baseball games again in the playoffs. Ooh, that'll be fantastic. We'll let the game breathe. You let the game breathe right out of existence here. We need a respirator for that game in 2 or 3 years where nobody's going to want to watch it again. I'm telling you right now. I wish Major League Baseball did this. Coming out of the All-Star break, take the pitch clock away and watch how slow and sluggish that game is. You're like, man, boy, did we have it good. Man, we had it really good with the pitch clock. Hope they never take it away again. Nonsense from Major League Baseball, but it is what it is. Let's talk NFL action here. Multiple reports coming out right now. We're still waiting to see where DeAndre Hopkins is going to go. The best part about this is he has an offer. He's got two offers right now, legitimately, that have been reported. One is with the Patriots and one is with the Tennessee Titans. And I still can't get over. Like, he's like, okay. Somebody please come help me. Because nobody wants to be in that offense for the New England Patriots with a pop gun or an arm quarterback in Mac Jones. If you're looking to go to a team and you are taking less, your hope's that the team is so good that it's going to propel you in such a good light that you can really get after it and make a ton of money in the near future, probably with another organization. But the fact that DeAndre Hopkins has a deal from New England is like, please, somebody save my life. I don't want to play for this organization at 45 catches, 650 yards, and 3 touchdowns because Bill Belichick told his quarterback he can't throw in December on the road. And his other team, the Tennessee Titans, he's basically saying, somebody please come rescue me from the Tennessee Titans. I do not want to play with Ryan Tannehill and or Will Levis in this upcoming season. That's not going to make me any money in the future. Quite frankly, I might have to retire after this year because nobody's going to believe I can play anymore because how bad those two quarterbacks will be. So according to Jeff Darlington, the Buffalo Bills have interest and would welcome DeAndre Hopkins if he wanted to ring chase, and says he would have to lower his asking price. Do we even know what his asking price is? Can a beat writer out there uncover what the offer sheet is from the New England Patriots and the Tennessee Titans onto what is actually being offered for the services of DeAndre Hopkins? Now, some also might laugh at this as well and say, hold on now. Ring? Did he just say ring chase? He said ring chase and the Buffalo Bills in the same sentence here. How many rings do the Buffalo Bills have in the history of the Buffalo Bills? None. How many do they have in the past recent? None. How many Super Bowl? None. How many appearance? None. Yeah, you get the point there. Now, I'm going to play a little bit of a play on words there with ring chase. If DeAndre Hopkins does go to the Buffalo Bills, surely Josh Allen is going to love that. That offense will move in style up and down the field. But I got to tell you here, it's interesting to me because you just saw the offseason with the Buffalo Bills. And it basically was drama between Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, and our boy at wide receiver here, which is Stephon Diggs. I don't know why it was slipping my mind. Steph Diggs. You're telling me right now that Stephon Diggs, who gets all of the attention for Buffalo, all of the targets, it feels like, for Buffalo, all of the yards for Buffalo, all of the touchdowns, he's the centerpiece. He's the diva wide receiver everybody in the NFL wants. But as I told you, diva wide receivers want to be the center of attention. And if DeAndre Hopkins is coming in, he's going to need the football too. So, Chris, come on now, man. You can coexist out there. Yeah, you can. But you have to understand, when you are a top-flight wide receiver, you only want the football going to you. So the fact of the matter also is like, hey, DeAndre Hopkins, you're going to have to lower your asking price. Please somebody tell me what his asking price is. Because if DeAndre Hopkins was released during the free agency period, he would be signed by now. Teams would have budgeted. They would have known it was coming. They would have had offer sheets ready. And he would have decided to be on a team already. We're a week out from training camps at most facilities, which includes rookies. Then the couple days later, the veterans fill in behind. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have a home yet here. So I'm wondering what he's actually getting. But also, the ring chase here. Dove Kleiman also says, the Bills would love to sign wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins if he's willing to ring chase and take less money. During an appearance on the Rich Eisen show, Darlington said, my understanding with the Bills is like, yeah, they love, let me see the rest of this, DeAndre Hopkins. He'd be a great addition, but they're not going to pay him. I mean, what is this world coming to, man? Every wide receiver is getting paid. What does getting paid mean? Like, hey, by the way, you want to ring chase and take less? Does that mean he's playing on a $1 million contract? And what are we missing here on DeAndre Hopkins? Did we miss something? Is he that bad a guy behind the scenes of your team? Does he have medical history that we don't know about? Where he's playing with no cartilage in either knee? What did we miss? We know he got suspended last year and he's on a bad franchise, but did put up good numbers in Arizona, was ridiculous in Houston, not technically over the hill just yet. And I'm not saying you got to give him 3 years and $120 million with 70 guaranteed. We're not saying that. But why is it right now where this guy, just before training camp, and I can't imagine the amount that he wants is unrealistic. But what is he actually asking for? Like, let's just say right now, DeAndre Hopkins is out there and goes, hey, look, I'm not looking to break the bank, but I do need to make some money. And I would prefer it to be on a shorter term deal, maybe even 1 year. How about 1 year, $8 million plus incentives. If I catch 75 balls, you bump it up. 100 balls, you bump it up. We make the playoffs, you bump it up. And we can work together here. You do real good. I do real good. We all eat, right? And then I'll be a free agent. And if you like what you got here, you have your money budgeted for the following year. Then we can get after it and have some fun and do some damage. But the fact of the matter is talking about like that quote right there. He'd be a great addition, but we're not paying him. What? So he won't be a great addition then. If you're an NFL team and you had money to spend and you felt that DeAndre Hopkins would be a big part of your offense and a big part of a quest at a Super Bowl run, and you're like, yeah, I'm not going to pay him. Hey, by the way, Josh Allen, love the kid. He's awesome. I was just not going to pay him. Like, what does that mean? Then you don't really think he's that great at this point then, right? Huh. When does he land, by the way? Because we've been having this conversation for months. Has it been since April? Did he get released in April, I want to say? DeAndre Hopkins? Or just post-draft? It's been a long time that he's been out there. And it still seems like he was making his round trips, which he made to New England, and he made to Tennessee. And they do have legitimate offers on the table. But again, if you are a top wide receiver looking to get one final big payday, you got to go about it by playing with a really good football team and then going into free agency next year. It is amazing, though, that other teams haven't called because the Patriots do have a clear need for a game-breaking wide receiver. And I'm not so sure that even DeAndre Hopkins is that game-breaker anymore, to be honest, because he would be getting way more love around the NFL. But I would like to see DeAndre Hopkins in ring chaser mode, to be honest. Which just means to me, you're going to a good football team. The Patriots are not a good football team. The Titans are not a good football team. Like if he heads to, and again, I'm not saying that these teams want him. An Eagles, a Miami Dolphins, a Buffalo Bills, a New York Jets, a San Francisco 49ers. You see where I'm going with? A Kansas City Chief, right? It would get very interesting because he can really help out, if he's still solid, a top-end franchise looking for that missing piece. And I certainly think he can get that done. But it's interesting. I want to know what that offer sheet actually is and what he could get. We're going to talk more NFL talk next. Quarterback documentary on Netflix, the Cleveland Browns, top 10 cornerbacks in the NFL. Come on back. It's Donnie Wrightson.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it. Who's ready to get angry? I know we're ready to get angry because the quotes just won't stop from Rob Manfred. And all you have to do is follow Bob Nightingale, who's tracking it all down right now. You know, they're asking him questions basically on small revenue teams and, you know, who's going to be in the mix for the 2025 All-Star Game. I have no idea why that's not. There's no city pick there. But it looks like Atlanta is in the mix, Baltimore and Toronto as well to be on a short list. But here's the one that gets me again. Major League Baseball said, you know what? The game's getting hurt right now. Pitchers are dominating in baseball right now. We have to stop this. Let's bring the hits back. No more. It's either a walk or a home run or a strikeout and nothing in between. So Rod Manfred comes out and says this today. MLB is working with Dow Chemical trying to develop a baseball with a sticky substance. My head hurts. My head hurts right now. I don't know what purpose we're trying to serve at this point, because baseball is the only sport on the planet that doctors everything when it doesn't have to. Make your Major League Baseball. There's a rosin bag out there in case you sweat. You pick it up, you wipe the rosin on, you know, you massage the baseball a little bit, you get on the mound and you throw. There is a reason right now where on the baseball diamond, these pitchers are getting checked every single time they walk off the mound. Because the design is, you can't cheat, pitcher. We're going to catch you. We're going to suspend you. Max Scherzer doctored a baseball a couple times this year. He got suspended, and rightfully so. Anybody that I walk up to who has a sticky substance on their hand, you're thrown out of the game, you're getting a 10-game suspension, and you're not even going to be able to argue it. Enough with the cheaters on the mound, which is going on for far too long. Major League Baseball, a couple years, instituted that, got away with it. Strikeouts went up, to nobody's surprise, because baseball pitchers were doctoring baseballs once again. So it looks like this year they're getting back to being serious about it and stopping it and checking the players instead of just giving them a slight high five on the way off the field. They're actually looking for cheating pitchers and have caught a few of them. And also, sometimes like, hey, well, they only caught a couple. Yes, because every other pitcher is watching going like, hey, you know what? I can't cheat right now. I can't risk it. They're actually looking. So Major League Baseball now working with a company to make a sticky base. I kind of don't. What are you doing? If you guys remember, and this is even before I was born, sticky substances slash like, you know, the spider tack that they use used to be in football. The Oakland Raiders used to use it. And it was so bad that you had to change footballs like every four plays, because if Fred Biletnikoff caught a pass, you could barely hand it back to the referee because it was so sticky, it would stick to his hands here. Defensive backs were using it, gunking up a sock, reaching down, wiping it on their hands. It was ruining the sport because literally you couldn't touch the football without it sticking to you. They did away with it. Said you can't do this. And then even for a time being in the, what is it, maybe late 80s, early 90s, right up through almost like I was in like high school and college, the sticky gloves, they said, look, you can't go overboard with these Newmans, which we used to use in the 1990s. Like, you can't have it be so sticky. So they came up with like an acceptable glove that you could use that had some stickiness to it but wasn't overwhelming. But I know in Major League Baseball, they're going to take it too far. Some baseball is going to be way more sticky than others, and pitchers will complain just like they've been doing for the past 5 years. Hey, every time I get a baseball, it feels different than the last one here. I'm trying to change it in. I'm trying to change it out. We're dumbing down the baseball. We're juicing up the baseball now. Ridiculous in Major League Baseball. So the fact that I see that coming through, I don't know how serious Major League Baseball is half the time. Leave the baseball alone. The hits will keep there. The runs will keep coming in. If you like 2-1 games with 19 strikeouts, go ahead, baseball, and doctor away once again. Ruin your sport for all I care about. Enough with that. And I got to tell you, like, we have a nice little segment going here, but I'm telling you right now, I want to start talking a little bit of NFL action, some hot takes here. But I know I'm going to see another ridiculous quote here coming from Rob Manfred at a press conference, so get ready for that. All right. How about this? The Vikings, Justin Jefferson, revealed his top five quarterbacks. Before I do that, let's get to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. The X-Man, he's calling in. He's ready to go, X-Man. Talk to me today.
Definitely ready to go, man.
I like it.
Got the three-leg parlay.
Mm-hmm. Go.
Two first-half spreads. WNBA. Mm-hmm. The Washington Mystics, 2.5. Las Vegas Aces, 9.5. First half spread.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, 9.5.
Then we got a first half baseball. Mm-hmm. First 5 innings. Yep. Alternate run line, 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
National League.
Oof. Ooh. The NL.
Three leg parlay.
I'm thinking the NL stomping tonight. 10-1, baby. So what? So the National League stomping on the American League tonight, X-Man. Is that what we're talking about?
They can stump them if they want, as long as they win by two. They're cool with me.
There it is, man. So we got it. So we got WNBA action tonight and Major League Baseball as we roll through. I like it, X-Man. Nice little 10-1. Most people are scratching and calling just to get some action in. The X-Man's bringing you a 10-1 parlay today. Washington, -2.5 first half. Vegas, -9.5 first half. And in Major League Baseball, run line. I think I got this right. Run line in the first five? Is that what he was saying here, JP? I think that's what he had there. Or maybe a half of a run. Would it be a half of a run, first five? Or he took the full 1.5 for the game?
Why 1.5. 1.5 for the first five.
First five? Ooh, there you go. Up by 2 at the end of 5. Looking for a smoke show there for the National League. There we go. Got the clarification. 10-1 on the board. Some fun to cheer through. By the way, X-Men, who's winning the Summer League in the NBA? Give me the winner. Ah, he's going on that one. You know he's got the winner of the Summer League. You know he's popping on that. All right, let's get back to the NFL here. Because this always makes me laugh to a certain degree. I love the honesty. But sometimes the honesty doesn't go over well in your own locker room. Dove Kleiman, again, just rolling, scrolling through some tweets. Seems to be like there's some hot takes on his timeline today. The Vikings' Justin Jefferson reveals his top five NFL quarterbacks. Are you ready for this? We're going to start at number five, right? Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. Number four, the Eagles, Jalen Hurts. Number three, the Bengals, Joe Burrow. Yes, number three, excuse me. Number two, the Jets, Aaron Rodgers. Number one, it's Kirk Cousins, right? No, it's not. It's not. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. So again, that top five. Allen, Hurts, Burrow, Rodgers, and Mahomes. His quarterback's Kirk Cousins, who gets him the ball whenever he wants it. And again, I'm not saying he's not right. Nobody would put Kirk Cousins, in their right mind, above Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes. But the fact that you have your own quarterback, usually, like, you hype it up. Like even Tyreek Hill gets this, right? He goes from Kansas City, who he played with Patrick Mahomes, who's the best quarterback in the NFL, goes to Miami with an unproven younger guy with some upside. That's Tua Tagovailoa. He gets there and immediately says, man, Tua's better than Patrick Mahomes. Because that's what you're supposed to do. I know he doesn't believe it. We all know he doesn't believe it. But you got to say to yourself, man, stop. Like, look, you're supposed to put on for your home team, right? Which includes your quarterback. And the fact that he's not doing that actually is giving me a little bit of a chuckle right now. Because we know you're supposed to. And again, it sounds like, hey, man, Kirk Cousins stinks. He doesn't stink. He just doesn't win at a high level. His numbers are there every single year. 30-plus touchdown passes. Feels like you just write that in. And certainly getting Justin Jefferson the football, he's been one of the, if not the best, wide receiver. Why? Because his quarterback finds him there. That's pretty fun stuff. Now, also, I talked about this already. Executives, coaches, scouts rank the NFL's top 10 quarterbacks for 2023. Not what you did in the past, right? Not how good you were in 2020, 2021, 2022. How good are you going to be in 2023? It's an ESPN article. Well, let's go through the top 10 in this quickly here. And we'll start at number 10. A.J. Terrell, Atlanta Falcons. Says the highest ranking's at 2. The lowest ranking was unranked. 24-year-old. Last year's ranking, 9th. Number 9, Denzel Ward, Cleveland Browns. The highest he got ranked was 5th. The lowest ranking was out of the top 10. Last year, he came in number 6. Number 8. Trevon Diggs, Dallas Cowboys. Highest he was ranked is 3rd. The lowest ranking was unranked. So somebody didn't even put him in the top. Boy, he does have a lightning rod for his style of play, though, right? If you're not looking at just the overall greatness of a cornerback's game, you see him jumping routes and getting interceptions, which is half the battle on defense. You want to be a playmaker who takes the football away, but it's almost like he takes and he giveth away as well, with big plays on the opposite end. But he comes in 8th. Number 7, Marshawn Lattimore, New Orleans Saints. Highest ranking, somebody ranked him number 1 this year. Lowest ranking, number 10. Last year, number 2. Great cornerback for the New Orleans Saints. Number 6, Marlon Humphrey, Baltimore Ravens. Somebody gave him a number 1 rank this year. Somebody also gave him an unranked number this year. So clearly, somebody loves him. And somebody doesn't love him so much. Number five, Darius Slay, Philadelphia Eagles. Highest ranked three, lowest ranked unranked. 32 years old. Honorable mention last year. Jair Alexander comes in at number four from the Green Bay Packers. Highest ranking this year, number one he got a couple votes for. Lowest ranking, number nine. 26-year-old, very good football player. Jalen Ramsey, and it's still interesting to see this, of the Miami Dolphins. Yes, he's on the Dolphins. Highest ranking this year, two. Lowest ranking, 10. Last year's ranking, number one overall. 28 years old. That was that big trade from the Rams over to the Miami Dolphins. Sauce Gardner, number two. Woo! Highest ranking. Some people voted him one. Some voted him sixth. 22 years old, coming in to his second year. Defensive Rookie of the Year. Elite player. That's when you know you hit on a player. Sauce is really good. Number one overall. 23 years old. Patrick Surtain II. Following right in his father's footsteps here. Denver Broncos got some talent here. Oh, it's so nice just to talk about football and the way it's coming back and in what a big way it is. Isn't it nice? It really is. And at the same time that we get excited and then we see Rob Manfred with some ridiculous nonsense here that he's spouting out on Twitter, I also get one of my pet peeves to fire me up again. The Wheaties box, people. It's really not that big of a deal, is it? Sometimes it is to me. I don't buy Wheaties. I don't eat Wheaties. I don't think they taste very good at all. When I was a kid, I didn't even buy Wheaties. Oh, Michael Jordan's on the box. Yeah, I didn't buy Wheaties. Stop it. Knock it off. Bottom 10 cereal. Not top 10. Bottom 10 cereal. Wheaties. Stop it. But they got the Watt brothers on there. Why? Why? Look, just put TJ on there. He still plays in the NFL. Why are we going TJ and JJ on there? Was there a need for this? Are more boxes going to be sold? No, I don't think so. Man, just put Jake Paul on there or something. Forget about the Watt brothers. And by the way, when I say forget about the Watt brothers, just forget about JJ. Keep TJ. The guy's legit right now. I'll be back. Donnie Whiteside here Tuesday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day right here for Moneyline in the afternoon on a Tuesday. Tomorrow, be back for another solo mission. And tomorrow, do we have anything going on tomorrow afternoon? You want to talk about Amazon Prime Day 2, I should say, for 2 hours tomorrow? Yeah, come on and bring it. But tonight, we do have the Major League Baseball All-Star Game and my same game parlay from this morning. And again, no handicaps needed here. We're just getting a feel for the game and playing it. I went with the Ride the Wave same game parlay, American League Moneyline, and over 7.5, which was a plus 100 price. So I'm getting a plus 275 tonight. I need 8 runs in that one. Even though the line currently right now at FanDuel is 7 at a minus 122, I do like that. I think they go over the total tonight, even though it's not necessarily a great, like, oh, I'm so excited, there's tomato cans on the mound, and we're playing in Wrigley with the wind blowing out. No, we're not. We're playing in a really pitcher's ballpark tonight with solid pitchers on the mound. But I don't think we got those generational guys going at this point here. So just some fun to watch on that game tonight to see if we can get some action and hit it. JP, where are you going here with your action futures-wise in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get as dry as the MLB All-Star break in the middle of the summer. So let's go ahead to the NFL futures and take the Panthers to win the NFC South.
There you go. Panthers to win the NFC South. By the way, quarterback show coming up on Netflix. And again, we talked about it a little bit last week. I'm really not that excited for it, to be honest. I don't like stuff that I technically already know about, but I do enjoy like older reruns of games. Like right now on the NFL Network, 2014 NFC Championship game, which is a game with the Green Bay Packers, and Aaron Rodgers went into Seattle and had a monster lead and ended up losing to the Seattle Seahawks here. I like to watch old stuff like that. I'm just not the biggest fan of watching stuff. And I know some in-game, behind-the-scenes nonsense, which Andy Reid gave his blessing to Patrick Mahomes, as long as you don't show anything inside of the chart. Room, which is ridiculous as is. Well, that'll do it for today's show. Today, how about that? 2 hours down tomorrow. Solo mission, 2 more hours to go, and another 2 hours closer to the National Football League season beginning next Tuesday when everybody starts to report to camp. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission today. I'll be back tomorrow once again for Moneyline. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.